Bridge. 1 foot. Walk the Moon. My favourite song right now. The Fit for Life girl. This is the podcast. I'm Kat Parnell. It's Tuesday the 9th of June. And I'm coming at you with a bit of a... I'm going to make sure that this podcast is focused on my feels in regards to different fitness and health factors and not the current affairs of what's going on in the world right now, because I know that in the last couple of days it's been difficult not to get consumed by everything that's going on in regards to social media. There's been a lot of opinions obviously going around, but it has projected a lot of emotion, and I'm not going to basically pretend that it hasn't. I'm someone who likes to be very positive. I'm an optimist. You know, I like to make positivity louder. I'm kind of one of those people, but it is tough to kind of not be drawn into people's difference of opinion in relation to a lot of things going on. So I'm just going to take a large sort of reverse lunge and sidestep to the left. Always go to the left. Left side, strong side. If you haven't seen Remember the Titans, go watch that film, 100%. Anyway, I'm going to start. I always think to myself, how am I going to start this podcast? I did definitely delete the last one, and it was after like 3 minutes as well. So those 3 minutes of like top quality banter are now full on into the air and can never get them back. I remember the times I used to write pages for literally sit on my bike in the morning and do an hour for a social media post, and I'd go to copy the whole post, and instead of pressing copy... So I'd select all, instead of pressing copy, I'd press paste, and the whole thing would just go. And in that moment, you just want to cry. And you go to try and write it all out again, and you can't. You just sit there and just like wonder why bad things happen to good people. Just shit the bed, man. Anyway, it's like when you make a nice muesli, your homemade muesli or whatever, and you throw everything together, and then you realise you don't have any milk. It's jokes. And your brother's put the milk back in the fridge with like literally a drizzle that wouldn't even make half a cup of tea. Anyway, I digress majorly, but the fact is I'm going to start today's podcast. I did delete the last one because I started to talk in an Irish accent and it did not come across very well. I do that sometimes if I'm in kind of like a bubbly or happy mood. I'm kind of like, you know, like this, and I just start, I don't know, but I've got a lot of relatives that are Irish and I know a couple of them that do listen to this podcast, so they'd be there just cringing like, oh, Kat, come on. Anyway, I'm going to start today's podcast with a post that I put on Instagram yesterday. Just basically reflecting about who we are and not what we look like, really. I think a lot of people at this moment in time are quite sort of like, you know, we haven't got the luxuries, like I've said in previous podcasts. We haven't got, the hairdressers are not open, the gyms are not open. As much as we've got, you know, ways to go about changing hair colour ourselves or Zoom sessions, to-do sessions, it's not the same as sort of one-to-one interaction. And those high fives and fist pumps post-workout and that kind of level of energy that you can gain by having people around you, you know, it's not there. And I just wanted to sort of say to everyone yesterday on the post that to anyone feeling a bit kind of off their game, that it is your character that defines you. It's not your hair colour. And it is your integrity that shines above a number on a scale. It's who you are, not how much you can lift, that people will remember you for. So, yeah, you can go, you know, you can't go get your hair done or you can't go to the gym, like I said, but nobody cares if you put eyeliner on today. They care for the smile you project and the kindness that you give. Beauty shines from within. So I kind of wanted to put that out because I was just thinking about it on my walk around Autumn Water. So glad that's open now. It was one of the walks I literally used to go on most weekends because it's just nice to have a place to walk around and like a destination to go to. As in regards to once you've done it, and then you go back to your car or your bike or whatever and go home. But it was beautiful, loved it, and I was just reflecting on that, really. I think I was getting, you know, quite, I was reading a few posts and people getting quite down about, you know, just not looking their best. And you just think, like, this moment in time, it's actually, you know, it's about shining and people will love you for who you are as such. So anyway, just wanted to start with that. Today's podcast, like always, is just going to be touching on lots of different random things. That's how every podcast is going to be. Excuse my random little moments in time. this is who I am, and I'm just going to roll with it. So I've had lots of cool feedback, which has been awesome. And there was a little girl this morning, her name was Kaylee. So Kaylee, if you're listening, hey Kaylee, you're the person that actually made me sit down today and do it today, this next podcast. So, yeah, thanks for the motivation. So, yeah, she, I don't know who she is, she's just on Instagram, she was just like, oh, I've come across this podcast, it's motivated me to continue to be, you know, fitter and just continue to go and move, basically. So, yeah, it's awesome to have that, just to know that there's, I don't know, you know, people that are positively impact. I mean, there's no better job or no better feeling than knowing that you're having a positive impact on someone else's life. So I'm going to start with a just a little bit about talking about average, strong, stronger and strongest. Now, average people avoid and resist challenges. Strong people accept challenges and want change to happen. Stronger people embrace challenges and wish change to happen, and the strongest people seek challenges and make change happen. So have you run from discomfort or actively embraced it this week? Have you fought change or looked for ways to excel during it? So, you know, which of the above mentalities do you fit into? Now, I always think there's two types of people. There's people that act and there's people that follow. There's the sort of the sheep and then there's the lions. There's people, and this moment in time is definitely reflected on those people. There's people that are definitely sort of following the crowd, and there's other people that are standing up and being counted, and people that are, you know, yeah, literally staying grounded, but also acting on their own intuition and their own impulse. And oftentimes that's the right way to go, but we definitely need those leaders and those people to just stand there and go, right, this is what I think, or, you know, this is what I believe in. Stop waiting for permission. Basically, this is what this kind of this idea at the minute, this part of the podcast is about, not waiting for permission or the right time, because neither of them are coming. The pessimist, this is a nice little block. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change, and the realist adjusts the sails. So it's the person that, you know, in this moment in time when there are a lot of things happening that are is negatives as such, it's the person that is adjusting the sails before the wind even comes that is there going to be able to, you know, move forward and be positive with that, rather than, you know, complaining about what's happening. They've already sort of set up the foundations to be able to rebound off. So it's not the strongest that survives or the most intelligent, it's the ones that's most adaptable to change. So I just kind of want to reflect on that before I continue, especially in regards to lots of things happening obviously at the minute. So I'm going to have a little look. Also, I wanted to touch base. So I'd read this little post that I put out quite a while ago it was just talking about the bottle concept that I was talking about before, trying carrying a litre of bottle around you with for an hour. And what happens, you know, your hand gets sore, you know, an hour a day, a week, what happens, your hand gets sore, your arm starts to ache, your muscles fatigue, and you can't keep hold of it for any longer. So, you know, the concept that I was talking before, if you listened to the previous podcast in regards to the teacher holding the bottle at the front, that's all physical strength. Mental strength is no different. So you can't hold on to something for too long without it having a detrimental effect to your mental health. So we all have two types of health, and they are both need looking after. And I think that's so important at the minute in regards to having a soundboard to let off some steam mentally. It's just as important as having, you know, your workout to let off the steam physically. So making sure that you have those friends around you, or those people, or, you know, those times where you can just let off what you're feeling inside, because all this moment in time, especially, there's going to be a lot of emotion. And I had an email through by Strava, which is like basically the fitness Facebook as such. And it had my May stats. And I was like, whoa, I didn't like, you know, you kind of, I knew that I biked a lot and walked a lot. But I was like, literally, that's my go-to. That is my way of, you know, drowning out the noise and just keeping my body in motion, is how I sort of, you know, creating motion, what's they say, an object in motion stays in motion, but when you feel emotion, create motion as such. And that's what I do, you know, I'll go for a walk, and that's the way that I kind of break things down, because I'll go on the phone to someone, or I will listen to a podcast, which oftentimes I'll put a podcast which resonates with the mood or what I'm feeling at that time. So almost you have someone chatting to you that can really reflect in a state of mind that you're in. And so your peace is more important than driving yourself crazy, trying to understand why something happened the way it did. Let it go. There's a lot of, like I say, a lot of things happening in regards to things that we can't control. And uncertainty is the main driver of stress and anxiety. And you have to come to peace with the fact that you can't go around in circles trying to, like, make sort of understanding of an equation or a situation or even why people are acting in a certain way. You have to just stay in your own lane. And sometimes letting things go is an act of far greater power than defending or hanging on to it. You know, that's that you have to just go, right, okay, this has happened. What can I do now that's going to allow me to then step forward? And that's why I like to walk and bike and whatever, because you're going forward, you're creating motion, you're going forward, and that's healthy for the mind as well, because you're going and you're moving, and it's allowing things to process. What was it say? Because we think we oftentimes, though, people don't, because they think think they can control it. And if a person shows their true colours, don't try and waste your energy trying to repaint them. That's so powerful. If a person shows you their true colours, don't waste your energy trying to repaint them. Just understand that that's who they are, and that's fine. Just know that, you know, if that's not the person you want to be sort of spending your time with, or you want that to be one of your most, you know, the five people you spend the most time with, who ultimately you are going to become, because those traits and those that personality and characteristics that they portray is going to be something that you're going to follow. So, you know, you can't control these people, and those people that come to your mind right now, they're the people that we're talking about. So find the courage to let go of what you cannot change. If situations aren't serving you or helping you grow, drop them. We can either hold on to things that weigh us down or lift us up. So you either hold on to those friends or those people or those things that are there to help you become the best version of yourself, or and drop the ones that don't, the ones that are weighing us down, those anchors or those people who are telling you you can't do something because they can't do it themselves. Sometimes the weight we want to lose isn't on our body. The most expensive thing in the world isn't the richest countries like Dubai and Singapore or New York, it's your mind. And that is the most expensive tool and what you have in yourself. If you don't heal the pain of your past, it will bleed all over your future. And that is so deep, but it's so true. You have to really just drop it. Drop it and let that energy and let that anchor go and just be free then to so much more. And you can add value in so many more people's lives that actually give a shit instead of wasting energy. You know, what's that thing, you know, don't give to people who don't give to you sort of thing. You know that quote in your mind right now in regards to, you know, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but, you know, there will be people who are like leeches and you have to just disconnect. So that's a bit of an insightful kind of start as such in regards to just emotions, letting go of weighted of things that weigh you down, and just utilizing movement. Now what I'm gonna do is now gonna touch base on my favorite book, so The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I'm then gonna talk a little bit about running the London Marathon without actually running, and then I'm gonna go through a few of the questions that I was asked. I asked a few people about some questions that they might think would be cool for the podcast, so I'm gonna answer them after. Woohoo! First of all, though, I'm gonna have a sip of my drink, so stand by. Right, if you don't like blasphemy or you screw your face up at profanities, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry for the following post or the following view as such. If you want to unfollow me or not listen to these podcasts anymore after this, that's fine. But see, some of this, right, I'm going to literally take a little bit of side note. Stay with me, sorry. some of the stuff here I've written down, and there's been like, you know, because a lot of the times with these podcasts, like I'm saying, a lot of it is off my head, but some things I need to write down. And there's a lot of fucks in this next bit. So if you have a child near, I know I've just said that word once, but if you have someone near and this is on loudspeaker, then please maybe put it in your headphones, because there's going to be a lot of fucks being said, just saying. In reference to one of my favourite books, which I've just said, The Silent Art of Not Giving a Fuck, by Mark Manson, most of us struggle throughout our lives by giving too many fucks in situations where fucks do not deserve to be given. Anyway, some people are just literally nodding their head right now. We give a fuck about the rude member of public who didn't say thank you when we opened the door for them. I mean, Jesus, there's a lot of people in Sainsbury's right now that have no fucks given when regards to the social distancing. You will literally be standing there and they are like not even a meter away from you and you're like, whoa. So there are a lot of people that just don't give a fuck. And so we give a fuck about the event we wanted to go to, selling out. So prior to lockdown, you know, there was a lot of times, you know, where you can't go to an event and it's just like, so we give a fuck about that. We give a fuck when someone doesn't bother asking us about our weekend. We give a fuck when it's raining and we had to go outdoors for our training. You know, we had an outdoor training session planned. We give a fuck about how much interaction our social media is going to get. You know, how many times I do it myself. I'm looking back, I'm like, I've only got 3 likes on that. Oftentimes as well, I'll post something and it is literally like, might delete later. The amount of Insta stories that I'll put out there, and I'll do it post-workout where my endorphins are buzzing, and then literally, well, look, oh Jesus, I've said literally about 10 times, I'm really sorry. I will look later in the evening at the post I put out at 8:30 in the morning and be like, what the hell, Parnell? Like, you're on one, mate, but it's like proper cringe sometimes, but it's just a buzzing mood. But anyway, I do a lot of times where I'll post something, I'll put a lot of energy into it, and then in that moment in time, there's not much interaction, and I get a bit like, oh shit, maybe that wasn't good enough. But we give a fuck about that stuff, don't we? And all the fucks given everywhere. So there's loads of fucks everywhere, like a fuck storm, for real. But why? What's the reason for, you know, what is the purpose? The recognition, the convenience, but that is a problem in a nutshell, the whole like giving a fuck. So choosing to give a fuck about everything is pretty much the most destructive thing you can do. You know, we feel as though we are perpetually entitled to feel happy and comfortable all the time, and that's when life fucks us. When we feel like we have to be on our game all the time. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I've said Fee Wynn's name quite a bit, right? I love Fee Wynn. But she's a person. Everyone, we all have them in our lives, don't we? Where we know that we could literally not talk to a person for ages. And then you talk to them the next day, or, you know, and it feels like you haven't stopped talking to them, you know, forever or whatever. You know what I mean? As in, that came out completely wrong. But you can have a long time where you don't chat to someone and it feels like only yesterday that you had the last discussion with them as such. She's a brilliant egg. And she messaged me today because I'm going to do a little Instagram live with her on Sunday. And so if you're around at 12 p.m. on Sunday, by the way, me and Fee are going to be talking over on her Instagram, which is Feasibly Fit. But anyway, she messaged and I was like, yeah, cool. Yeah, whatever you fancy. She's like, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. And she's like, yeah. I was like, why? Or I said, you're right. She's like, you're not as chatty as usual. And I think that is what I'm trying to say here in regards to, like, we always feel like we need to be on our game. And I think when you're a happy person, or, you know, you are buzzing most of the time, when you're not, or you're having a bit of an off day, or maybe you didn't sleep that well, and to be honest with you, the other night I went to bed at stupid o'clock, like early hours, because I was just so engaged on social media about what was happening with CrossFit that I was just kind of like so looking at different people's posts and everything that time flew by. And the next day I just felt a bit off my game, and people sort of, I think you've almost got this, when you ride your wave so high, you come off that board for a little bit, just to take a breather and let a few waves go by. And people are like, whoa, hang on a sec, you missed one there, mate. But you kind of, it's difficult. Like, it's not that you're, I think people notice more than when you're not. Like, when you're not completely buzzing all the time. And, you know, the people who don't give a fuck about failing or embarrassing themselves or saying how they feel, the people who just laugh and then do it anyway because they know it's right. They say fuck it, not to everything in life, but rather say fuck it to everything unimportant in life. And they reserve their fucks for those that truly matter. You know, the friends, family, passion. And because they reserve their fucks for only important things, people give a fuck about them in return. I'm going to read that to you again, all right? And people, literally, the respect you give yourself is the respect that people will give you. So the people who don't give a fuck about failing or embarrassing themselves or saying how they feel, those people that just laugh and then do it anyway, so those people are like, you know, the best things happen on the other side of fuck it, because they know it's right, you know, because they'll do it because they know it's right, they say fuck it, not about everything in life, but rather say fuck it to everything that's unimportant in life. So like, oh, fuck it. They reserve their fucks for what truly matters, friends, family, their passions. And because they reserve their fucks for only the important things, people give a fuck about them in return. We all have limited number of fucks in this in our lives. We have limited amount of fucks. Pay attention to where and who you give them to. So as we get older, we realise how little people pay attention to the superficial details about us. And we focus on doing things more for ourselves rather than others. And it's so true. The older you get, it's so true. This is just maturity, and it's what happens when we learn to only give a fuck about what's truly fuck worthy. You know, you become unfuckwithable. No one can fuck with you anymore because you just literally only give a fuck about what matters. Now, I have said the F word a lot here, but it's in regards to the book The Subtle Art and doesn't give it like this subtle art of not giving a fuck as such. So people that do not like that word for this 5-minute period, I'm really sorry. But the people that are okay with it, that's awesome. I just feel the need to apologize for saying those 4 letters. And when it clicks, it's pretty damn liberating. We no longer need to give a fuck about everything. We understand that life is just what it is. We stop fighting all the things we can't control and become content with the fact that life goes on. By reserving the fucks for the people who we care and the things we care about and the things we want to invest in, and who knew this is enough. And this is what happiness is truly about, and what is defined as. You know, you just get to a point where you just think, do you know what? And that's it. And that, do you know what? That is exactly why I love the fact that my best friend is 20 years older than me. I say 20 years older than me, around that age. You know, like a bit older as such. You know when you say something and then you think, shit, she's definitely not that older than me, but you like, you know what I mean, that you know, in that sort of age group, in your 40s as such. Jesus, freaking dig myself a hole, try and get out of that one. But it's so true, because people in their 40s are legit living their best life because they've gone through their 20s, of which we're in this kind of wave of like, whoa. And I know a lot of people, different people mature more than others. You know, I've got friends that are in there, some people who are doing epically at life and they're like literally still in their 20s. And you think, whoa, like you're not even like, hopefully not even a quarter away through your life yet. And you're like on it. And then you get other people that are, you know, and it's not that you're right or wrong, just that people mature or go through different stages or chapters at different times. And that's absolutely fine. But I think that the 20s, in my opinion, your 20s are there to just kind of like think, right, what do I want? You know, it's kind of, it's not making the mistakes and getting away with it as such. It's just finding your feet. Your 30s are there to be like, right, okay, shit, we're in my 30s now. Let's try and like, you know, try and get kind of some kind of stability. You know, it's kind of just setting the foundations. You know, you've done the things in your 20s that you want to do, maybe travel or whatever. Like I say, this is just a guidance of what I kind of feel. Not that you can't go and travel in your 30s. I mean, geez, my dad went to Australia to see my brother and like was there for like 2 months with him. And he's in his 50s. You know, it's not that there's any set platform. I'm just saying that this is the kind of the guidance. I think what I'm trying to say is that when you get to like your 40s, most people are like, do you know what? Fuck it. I don't care what she thinks anymore. I think when you're in your 20s, you care way too much about what people think about you. You know, you haven't lost that kind of mindset yet. You're not as experienced to kind of, you know, be able to just go, right, I know what I want. This is what I want. And I don't care what anyone else says. And it's cool to hang around with people who have that mindset, who are just like, you know, you could say something to them and then they're like, what? You're still thinking about that. And it's, yeah, so it's cool to have people around you who are a little bit older. It's nice to have friends within a different array of age groups. So you can have a real kind of understanding about different mindsets, really, I think. So yeah, so that's just a little opinion, just thought I'd throw in there. Oftentimes as well, who knew, like with the podcast, I can't like stop and like just delete a little bit of the podcast. Well, I probably could, but I'm not going to do that. But there are definitely going to be times where I'm like, oh shit, shouldn't have said that. Oh God. Anyway, we're going to carry on. We all do that, right? We say things sometimes and you're just like, yep. Anyway, so I'm going to go swiftly on to a part about running and using the Watt bike. So in 2000 and when was it? 2 years ago now. Hopefully the marathon will still go on in October. You just never know with anything at the minute. You can't really, everyone's a bit sort of touch and go. So I'm going to hope that it goes on in October. But to be a good runner, oftentimes people will just run. And they run and they run and they run. And it's like you're missing out on so much stamina, fitness and endurance. All the gains that can come from that by only focusing on that specific training. And it's such a fact. So I'm going to say if you've been following me on Instagram or whatever, I ran the Ipswich Half Marathon in 1:26 in 2017, without any sort of run specific training. So I didn't do any running, come up to that, it was in September 2017, and I literally was just like, yeah, I'll go for that, I'll run it, you know. Literally though, like, oh my God, I'm saying literally loads, wilders. Denise Sawyer, if you're listening to this, she took the piss out of me before about saying literally, she found it hilarious. I was like, I'm not going to say literally again, I'll say it again. Anyway, I did this and I hadn't done any sort of training for it, but I, in regards to run, I just like to be fit for anything. So if something comes around, I'm like, yep, yeah, I can do that. And that's what, like I said before, Fit for Life is kind of about. But this encouraged me then to take on the 2018 London Marathon only using a bike and workouts. So workouts in the gym like squatting, lunging, CrossFit, etc. Nothing that was run. I didn't run. I told myself, right, from September now until April, you are not going to run. That was 7 months. Just literally doing biking and a bit of cross training, but no running. Now, I got a PB on that day, and it proved to me how important other modalities are to cardiovascular and overall performance. I've since carried this concept with me, and a concept whereby I train to be fit for anything, and my performance comes as a byproduct. So I got a sub 40 10K a few weeks ago. Well, I say a few weeks ago, so obviously when I wrote this post, as such, it was obviously back in 2019 in July with the Twilight 10K around Ipswich. I got a sub 40 that day. And again, adding evidence to this statement because I hadn't done any sort of running. I add running into workouts now and again. So say if it's in a WOD, which basically if whoever doesn't do CrossFit or doesn't know what WOD means, it's workout of the day. So I'll often do maybe a 200 meter run and then I'll do some swings, you know, deadlifts, whatever, and I'll incorporate it into a workout, but I don't really or hadn't done any kind of run training prior to these events. So, you know, and adding sort of hill sprints in, but in no way am I saying you shouldn't run at all here, because specific muscular stimulation is important, but albeit gaining PBs, my calves could have done with some consistent loading if I was a runner. So definitely I'm not saying that you shouldn't incorporate it, But trying to keep cramp at bay was with strategic unilateral hip thrusting in the last few miles of the marathon is not fun, and it doesn't look pretty either. So literally looked like I pooed myself the last 3 miles of that marathon, for real. And to be honest, the next day, DOMS wise, delayed onset of muscular soreness, DOMS, that's what DOMS mean, just FYI, but was more in my abs, because I was literally trying to not get cramp in my calves so much that I was like throwing each side of my body forward to propel myself in one direction. And that was a lot of like twisting in my abdominal area. The take home message here is that I was impulsed to share, you know, you know, training other than running. You're only allowing your body, you know, if you're only doing running, you're only allowing your body and your mind so far to grow. It's so important to strengthen it in other means, than just 3 times your body weight through each foot on the pavements. Or rotating lever on a lever strip in the gym, you know, on the treadmill as such. You know, go for a long walk, push or pull some iron around, swing, carry, lunge some more. Lunging is so powerful. Utilizes the biggest muscle in your body with your glutes. Train your core and a few planes of motion consistently. Be flexible, listen to your body, squat, measure and record your compound lifts, you know, progress with them, be consistent. Save your joints and trust the process. Believe that anything is possible and own every race you take part in, knowing the only person you're truly up against is yourself. And that is so key to think about too. When you're on that start line, people get so, even in life, so life's start line, when you wake up, some people will literally be so focused on what other people are doing. Oh, well, they've done that. Oh, well, they've done that. You just have to focus on your own game. You're your own limitation, you know, so you can do what you can do. And like I said in the previous podcast, if you've done your best, that is ultimately what's going to allow you to feel the best as well, because you know you couldn't have done more. And coming off any playing field, wherever you're at, if you know that you couldn't have given your body and your mind any more, that's better than any number or any winner. Well, for me, that is anyway. So that is the next part of the podcast. So what I'm going to go on to now is literally list a few things. Things that I laugh at when people say to me, or you see on social media and you think, are you kidding? So some things that are just basically like not fact. So when people say you can't eat carbs after 6 p.m, you'll get fat. That is false, just to be clear. I am quite a late eater. That's how I've always worked. Well, I've worked for years. And that's what works best for me. Now, when it comes to diet, especially when people got shift patterns and stuff, nurses and firefighters and people that work night shifts and that, you know that you don't really have a complete structure of when you eat. You just eat when you can, you know. And so when it comes to diets and stuff, your diet is reflective on what your lifestyle is like. Some people can eat at certain times because they're self-employed or because they're able to have a certain period of lunch break or whatever. And that's fine. Other people are going to have longer periods where they're not going to be able to, you know, get food. They're not going to be able to say to their patient who they're stuck in surgery with, you know what, mate, do you know what? I'm just going to leave you open air. I've got to go and have my sandwich. So, you know, when you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, whatever calories you have, wherever they are, you know, they are the calories in your day. It doesn't matter what time you have them. Obviously, the time that you have your food and your performance are going to be, and, you know, performance in what you do training wise and how you feel, is going to reflect obviously what time you have that as such, you know. So if you are a person that likes to eat before they train, then obviously you're going to eat before you train. I always train fasted. I'll wake up and I'll go for a long bike ride or whatever, without any food, because I know that I've gone to bed, you know, just having eaten, because that works okay for me. It might not work for 80% of people, but it works for me. And so you have to find, when it comes to eating, what's good for you. You know, and doing what I'm just going to put this in as well. This is something from Ben Greenfield, who wrote the book Beyond Training, which is a great book. So if you haven't looked at that yet, Beyond Training by Ben Greenfield, but he's looked into a lot of science in regards to making, like, if you are looking at optimal performance and optimal sort of meal times and utilizing sugar breakdown, etc., and glycogen systems, without getting too sciencey here, doing something like a HIIT training or some weight training prior to food consumption will then allow you to utilize that fuel and absorb the nutrients more efficiently, and drive that energy into your muscle system. So then you can basically build muscle more effectively. You then want to then do something aerobic, like a walk, within about 15 minutes of eating, to be able to then utilize those sugars that you've had in your meal, or the calories that you've had in your meal, to then be broken down and stored efficiently in your body, or used as energy. It allows you to then break down the sugar and actually works just as effectively as a sort of a diabetic, what the pills that sort of people, diabetic people will use to then lower their blood sugar levels. So you can utilize that tool just by doing something aerobic after, because you're not going to be wanting to go and lift and weight or do any HIIT sessions after after you've eaten food. So utilizing HIIT prior, then having a bit of an aerobic sort of walk or whatever post-meal is going to be very effective. Losing weight isn't about a calorie deficit. Losing weight is all about a calorie deficit, pretty much. The best diet, right? So the best diet is, there isn't a best diet. The best diet is the one that works best for you. So it's not about paleo. It's not about intermittent fasting. It's not about low carb, low fat, herbal life, schmerbal life. It's not about having a specific diet. It's about making sure that you're in a calorie deficit, like I said before, right? If what you're consuming is lower than what you're doing, then you will lose weight. The best time to work out is the first thing in the morning. The best time to work out is when the best time to work out is for you, and when you're feeling the best that you feel for you. That for some people might be first time in the morning, all right? That for some, and that's the same with fasted. There is such a minimal, a lot of people say this, oh, should I train fast in the morning so I can burn more calories? No, because there's such a minimal amount of evidence to prove that you burn more calories when you're fasted compared to when you're fed. If you know that you're going to train better by having a bit of a energy bar or a shake or something prior to training, because you know that then you're going to go into that training session feeling fueled, feeling alive, and you can own it, you're going to burn more calories in that training session because you'll feel the best that you do. So you'll then be able to actually have more of a productive session rather than feeling flat and maybe faint at the end of it because you haven't given your body the fuel it needs. So the best time to work out isn't in the morning. It's when you yourself feel the best that you are. For some people, that's in the afternoon when they're nice and fed. For other people, you know, some people like to train. I know there's a girl called Libby. Her name's Lift Like Libby on Instagram. True little inspo. She's such a good egg. But she is, yeah, she put a little article, which I read. And she said that she likes to do her sort of HIIT training and her sort of WODs and that, the very short, sharp heart rate stuff in the morning when she's fasted. She'll have a nice, big, healthy, earthy, hearty, that's what I meant, said earthy, thought hearty, sometimes that happens. But she had a nice, big bowl of oats after. And then she'd do her weight training in the evening when she feels stronger with lots of more fuel in her body. So, you know, go with what was best for you. They say that 5 p.m. is the optimal sort of time to train because, like I say, you know, your body will be more fresh as such. It's going to be more mobilized once when you've sort of been lying flat for 8 hours or however many time, you know, however long you sleep. Getting up and then suddenly performing, your body's a bit like, whoa. So you're not going to feel as on your game as such because everything's a little bit less warm. But if you've got sufficient warm-up and stuff like that, you know, it's not, it's about what works best for you. You burn more fat when you're in a fasted state. Like I said, just gone through that. Weighted training turns fat into muscle. Fat does not turn into muscle. And people say this a lot. I'm going to turn my fat into muscle. No. You're literally, but now also the same when they say muscle weighs more than fat. Muscle doesn't weigh more than fat. A pound of fat weighs the same as a pound of muscle. Just the same as a pound of feathers weighs the same as a pound of lead. It's a pound. It's just that muscle is a bigger amount than, sorry, a smaller amount than fat is. So it's more dense as such. So you can build muscle and lose fat, but you can't change fat into muscle. Ah, sorry. Can you feel the passion? Weight training is for men. Weight training is for men. You know when you read something like that and you just think, come on. Now, females, if you're worried about getting bulky for weight training, then please don't worry about getting bulky. We haven't got enough testosterone in our body to get bulky and big and really masculine and muscular. Naturally, there are going to be some people who have a little bit more testosterone than others. You know, we're all not the same. Hormonally, our bodies are made up of different, hormones. Who knew? But genetics, basically, females have got peanuts of testosterone, of which is going to create the muscle mass in your body. So we as females do not need to worry about getting too bulky, unless you're on some kind of steroid as such. Weight training is so important. It's all about being sexy and not skinny, isn't it? Strong, not skinny. Sexy. Again, just like Hearty and Earthy, we've gone with sexy instead of strong. Strong is sexy though, right? For real. So, I can spot reduce my problem areas. Unfortunately, you cannot. You can't go, hey, I'm going to lose a bit of belly fat. When I get a little bit, when I put a bit of weight on, there is a definite just below my belly button that I hold it. And I'm like, wait, hello. So, like, for real though, we all have our certain areas, don't we? Where we put a little bit of weight on, or we're feeling a little bit heavier, might hold on to more water, whatever, certain periods of the month, you know the score. And you want to then lose that fat or whatever, or that accumulation of water quicker than wherever else, but you can't do that, unfortunately. Like I say, same genetically, we've all got our own types of body shape, some people lose it from some areas. You see some people that they're the smallest people in the world and then they've got a massive chest, or you see some people that they've got the smallest chest and then suddenly they've got a big bum, and it's like, and it's funny because the ones who've got the massive chests want the big bums, and the big bums want the massive chest, and it's like, you know, you're fighting against the norm the whole time. So, and it's fascinating. I was in a class actually once, just a quick digression, but it is relatable. There was a lean lady at the back with me, and she kept looking at the lady at the front, who was quite a curvy girl. And as in regards, I could see looking at her, and, you know, at the end of the class, they both kind of came together and sort of had a little chat. And I overheard them because one of them was actually my friend. I wasn't just being a weird stalker, just sort of hanging around listening to their conversation. But I was waiting for my friend who was having a discussion with her. And she was like, oh, like, you know, I really like, you know, what have you been training? Your body looks really good. You know, you look like you've been training. And she said, I was just going to say the same about yours. You know, and it's fascinating, isn't it? That you know, that one person really would like to have one certain thing, and everyone's sort of fighting against the norm. So really, like I said before, it's just about appreciating your own body, what it's made for, and doing what you can with what you have. Because ultimately, there's a lot of people out there who would be looking at you and thinking, wow, I wish I was like them. And it is so true. And to be honest, if you're confident in your body, that shines above anything. You know, there's a lot of people, I mean, I used to do it when I was in the best shape I was. I'd walk around the gym in flipping hoodie and trousers because I wasn't confident in the way that I looked. And then you get the people that are confident and they're, you know, not as maybe lean, but they're rocking it. And you're like, go on, girl. So, you know, it's the confidence that shines above. You can't gain muscle after 40. Now, it is harder when you get older to gain muscle tissue, but there is nothing that says you can't, when you get older, gain muscle tissue. So continue to train well, eat well. You might find it harder when you get older to then gain that muscle tissue as processes become slowed down, metabolic rate slows down, etc. But there's nothing to say you can't gain it. So continue to just do what you can. I'm eating clean, but I'm not losing weight. Now, people, when they say eating clean, there's a lot of posts on Instagram, isn't there, of people spraying food with, like, fairy liquid and stuff. Let me just quickly take a drink. But it's, you could eat 100 apples, and if you're in a calorie surplus, you will gain weight. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter about the cleanliness of the food. It matters, like I say, about the, how much of it you're putting in your mouth. Let's have a look. I haven't got DOMS. It must mean I didn't work out hard enough. I get this a lot. Oh, but I don't ache today. That means I didn't obviously push myself hard enough. It's not true. It is not true. Ultimately, obviously, when you partake in activity that your body hasn't become accustomed to, you're naturally then going to ache more. So if you're a runner and you start to suddenly lift weights, your body's going to be like, whoa, hang on a second, what's this stimulus? And it's going to cause muscles to ache more because they're recovering more. So the thing is, if you partake in a certain exercise that you do often, your body is so powerful and it will become in tune with that, so it will ache less. You need to then continue to just progress with either reps. You know what weight and reps does? It says reps. It's the same as rate. I rate reps all day long. If you, just continue to progress, whether that means reducing your rest period, whether that means increasing your, the time that you work out, increasing your reps, your load, making sure that you progress, record things as well. What gets measured gets managed always. And I read a post not long ago. There's a guy called George McCallum. He's a PT. He's worked at David Lloyd. He now works for CrossFit Orwell. And he's a such a good guy, you know. I really respect George McCallum. Anyway, he said, put a post out the other day. It was reflecting on a guy. I can't remember his name, but they were talking about home workouts and stuff. And to be honest, I just wanted to put this, my opinion out as such. Like, it was a great post, and I respect George, whatever he does. But it just made me think of this in regards to, I think at this moment in time, as much as progression and keeping your head in the game and making sure that you are overloading your body to cause a change, I know that's so important, so I completely resonate in what he's saying. But I think at this moment in time, it is also important for people to just move. And sometimes not worry about how much you're lifting, or like I put a post out earlier on my Facebook about, you know, sometimes it's not about how fast or how far you go. It's just for the mind. And I think a lot of the times in this moment in time, because there is a lot of stresses going on, stressing out your body too much and worrying about too many numbers or, you know, optimal sort of performance is just going to stress your body out even more. And it's actually going to, you know, worse, you know, your immune system's going to, it's going to get worse as such. So he's definitely got 100% a point in the fact of what gets measured gets managed. I completely relate to that. But sometimes a little home workout here or there, or something just to move your body, an idea just to for your mind, and to just sort of drown out the noise, is effective just in this moment in time in regards to lots of things happening. So, but go check George McCallum out. I did a little one-to-one with him on Instagram not long ago. Such a top lad. So next one, I want to lose weight. I must run. No. So running, and everyone's like, oh, but I've been running, so I should lose weight. The thing is, like I said before, your body becomes so accustomed. So if you only run, you're only giving it one stimulus. And that your body will adjust to that stimulus. So the more and more you run, the less and less your body will burn, because it becomes in tune with what you're doing. So, you know, it's like, you know, being on a desert island as such, you know, your body will then think, right, okay, we want to store as much fat as we can because we don't know how long we're going to be here for. So same with running, it becomes so efficient that it actually utilizes less calories and less fuel and energy if you do the same thing over and over again. So it's, you have to adjust, you have to do different things, create different stimuluses for change, give your body a reason to change. Exercise is more important than nutrition when it comes to losing weight. No, you don't even need to exercise to lose weight. Exercise is there, is just used as a tool to get stronger, you know, and to increase your metabolic rate. It is there also to feel good, obviously good for the mind, but nutrition wise, you can get in a calorie deficit just by with your nutrition. You know, we have got a basal metabolic rate, which is the baseline of what you burn, you know, just sitting on your bum. Usually that's around about 1,000, 2,000 calories, 1,100, sorry, 1,000 to 1,200, etc. Like around that sort of area, just by lying on your bum. So lying on your bum, lying on your back, or sitting on your bum. You know, you can, you know, just control your nutrition and lose weight with that. Obviously, if you enjoy food and you want to have a bit of a life, then it would be good to move, just because moving is so important for the body and the mind. CrossFit is bad for your knees. Now, there's a lot of haters out there that just don't like CrossFit. Now, obviously, if you've looked at any of the news at the minute, CrossFit wouldn't be, I mean, that's branded as CrossFit, isn't it? And I don't know what's going to happen in regards to the whole Greg Glassman in relation to the headboard at CrossFit and what they're going to do. So saying CrossFit out loud right now is a bit like, you know, a lot of people are changing their names to functional fitness or their name and they're calling themselves a tribe. But that brand as such is so good now. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. If in the last sort of maybe 10 years ago, I'd have probably said something different. But now partaking in it and knowing that it's coached very well, and there's a lot of qualifications out there. Before it was, you know, it wasn't as big and it wasn't as respected enough. Now it is very much so. It's not bad for your knees. Doing things, you know, ineffectively of such or ineffectively, without the right type of people by your side, yeah, any type of exercise then would be bad for your body because you wouldn't be respecting it. So that brand is not CrossFit as such. I'm not going to dive into that. Jesus, you'd need a whole nother podcast for that bad boy. Herbalife, just Herbalife. I'm not going to have any opinion on that bad boy either, to be fair to you. Scroll through my social media if you want anything. Just type in, I just, yeah. There's certain things that just, yeah, just we'll just divert on that one as such. Basically, it's just like Juice Plus, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of people that might try Juice Plus, Herbalife, all these different fads and that. A lot of them are just money scamming things, and it is just about eating whole foods. If it doesn't run, swim, come from the ground, or fly, then don't have it. You don't need to start to utilize different types of shakes as such that are just things that you could... you're driving money into a money marketing sort of machine rather than actually utilizing fuels that are available for you. Now, let's have a gander. Now, there's a lot of questions that I've been asked. As such, I'm trying to have a look. Here we go. That I might actually now save for another podcast because this one's 52 minutes. There are a few that I'm just going to touch base on. Someone asked about my Bluedio headphones. Now, when I used to walk around on previous podcasts, previous podcasts I said about walking around with headphones on and, you know, walking the streets and stuff when I was just, you know, that was my kind of go-to. Now, the Bluedio headphones you can get on Amazon, they're $19.99 and literally they're epic headphones, to be fair to you, for what they are. But people who now are clients and other people that have maybe not spoken to you before and now I do, they remember me now, as in they know me because I'm the girl who walked the streets. Like, I'm the girl with the headphones on, you know, and people have noticed me because I'll be here and they'll be the other end side of Ipswich or whatever, like walking. But that's actually, I'm always like advertising myself before I started my business because people saw me before they even knew me. So that's a little one of the questions. Also, let's have a look here. I'm just going to try and pick out one more question to finish on. With the football, when did you get shredded? Why? What sort of training did you do after your football? So what happened with the football, I was playing football for Colchester United and then I lost a lot of weight and then couldn't even kick the ball in from the corner flag, as in regards. And people were just looking at me like, are you all right? Like, what's happened to Parnell? But when you have never really been on the bench because you, well, I knew I was a good player. When you then are on the bench, you're sitting there thinking, what? And then you know something's up and you're just like, yeah, this isn't just a one time, like, I'm just the manager's gonna see how someone else is playing, this is a regular occurrence now. And you start to think, yeah, okay, shit the bed. So that's when I started to marathon train. That's when I started to get into more isolated sport, really, and then missed football so much because of the dressing room banter. Anyone who plays a team sport knows about that. So, yeah, that's when I sort of dedicated all my time. Then I'm isolated training, of which then I started to get shredded. And that was my main focus. And then just, yeah, became an obsession. But like I said, I've put a post up on Instagram recently about the reasons behind that, or and what I learned from that, what I gained and what I lost as such. But so you learn. The thing is, there's so many, everyone's got their little battles as such, or everyone's got their own little things that make them the person they are today. And so as much as there was a lot lost from that, it's a period of my life of which has allowed me now to live a better and a stronger life, and one with a lot more confidence, a life that can promote a fit for life mentality, knowing what it looks like to be at that unhealthy state. So for girls that are in a position now that message me about, hey, you know, how did you get to that place? Because I'm finding this a struggle, or I'm thinking about food too much, or I feel like I can't go a day without exercising, what can I do? And it's, you know, it's knowing what that place looks like, so I can actually say to them, do you know what, I know how you feel. And as a sports masseuse and as a personal trainer, the best, what I want to do is when anyone comes through my door, is to be able to, when they sit down and say, this is how I feel, or this is my injury, or this is, I want to be able to, not I want to get injured in as many ways as I can so I can reflect their mentality. I just want to know that whatever they're feeling or what a position they're in, I can go, okay, cool, yeah, I understand. And actually them, and be able to be in their mindset. Yeah, just to be able to then give them the best advice possible. And I became a sports masseuse because I got injured running up to the 2012 marathon, injured my Achilles, got Achilles tendonitis. I was very stubborn, thought I didn't need any kind of recovery tools or anything. Had a couple of sports massages, was able to then run the 2012 marathon. And that was my moment of like, I need to start to do this in my life and promote this. Because it's not just about building your body, it's about making sure that you can recover as well. It's about that balance. So, you know, if a PT client does get injured, or if they need some TLC, I'm there to have their back too. So that was my main sort of idea about utilising sports massage too. It's about, you know, being able to recover my clients as well as build them up, help in every way I can. Wowzers, my voice got a bit like as if I was about to cry then. It's just that I need a little bit more water. Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure. This is wowzers, like my longest podcast yet. I've been resting my elbows on my knees, so my legs now are definitely got these like red lines on them. Anyway, I hope you have had a good day so far, whatever you're up to. I hope you've enjoyed the hour long walk or whatever that you've plugged yourself into for this podcast. And yeah, just much love to you all. There's a lot of shit going on. There's a lot of things clouding the world right now. There's a lot of opinions. And my number one advice would be just stay in your lane, make positivity louder, and just do what you can with what you have where you are. Do not try and get too consumed don't allow yourself to get too consumed by what's going on around, because a lot of time you can't control it. Stay focused on what you can control, and continue to just plug yourself in, basically. Stay in your lane for the period of time, and as much as you can, just spread positivity, even if that's just smiling at someone that walks past. I hope you, like I say, have had a good rest of your day as such. Stay strong, people. Much love from me. Like I say, if you ever want to message me, my name's Kat Parnell on every social media. Any feedback that you have on anything that I've said today, just give me a shout. I'm always here to listen, and much love to you all. Ciao, ciao.